Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Pipeline Pioneers, a sales intel show where our goal is to help the community learn from the experts, from the practitioners, and from the leaders, all in context of how to generate the most optimal pipeline for your business, a pipeline that ultimately converts into revenue. As we know, generating pipeline is the heart blood of any organization. And we at Sales Intel believe that generating pipeline is a team sport. You can't just give it to BDRs or marketing or AE teams to generate pipeline. It truly takes a village to come together to build a pipeline that converts to revenue. Today, I'm excited to have James with me. James, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm so glad to be here. Awesome opportunity. I know you've had a lot of incredible guests with a lot of great, incredible things to say. So I hope that I can just add to the conversation.
You know, we're looking forward to it. James, to kick things off, why don't you tell us about yourself and the business you're with, and how in your role do you help influence the pipeline generation?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question. So James Kakis, I'm the head of go-to-market and chief solutions officer here at TestBox. And so, you know, a lot of people say, what does that actually mean? Well, I oversee the entire customer journey. So from marketing to sales to solutions, customer success, all that rolls up into me because we believe that it's important to have an aligned customer journey and customer experience. A little bit about me previously is I'm the co-founder of a company called the Pre-Sales Collective, which was a global community for solutions professionals. We grew that from an idea of bringing people together to a 35,000 member global community where we did multi-million dollars in revenue and actually exited that business. And the reason I bring that up is because TestBox, the company I'm at now, is in this demo automation space. The demo automation category is a very fast-moving category that's a little bit elusive because you have, you know, product tour softwares, you have live demo softwares, POC and sandbox software. And so what TestBox does is we play in the live demo and the POC automation. And the reason I bring this up, right, is because one, TestBox made a pivot last year. So we've really only been in this space since Q4, but because most of my partners at Presales Collective were in this demo automation space, I am very, very familiar with all the companies and all the value props. And why that's important for this conversation is we like the joke that I'm the best BDR in the game, right? I'm the best BDR because I understand the value proposition of these softwares. And I have built an amazing network of people that I trust, and who trust me based off what the value I've been able to deliver over the last few years. And I've learned at TestBox, like, who is truly in our ICP. And so if I have these connections, I'll reach out to people in my network, whether you call it nearbound or referral business. And I'll reach out to say, hey, are you using a competitive software? Are you experiencing these problems? And get people in the pipeline. I'm not like spraying and praying, not going to everyone in my market. I've been, our network, I've been very selective. But I think this is like my core thesis of today's conversation is that every exec needs to be generating pipeline for the business. Like no one is above it. And I've talked to people who say, yes, I generate pipeline. I introduce my team for conversations, but it has to be a major component of your job to deliver value for your business in this market. Because if traditional, you know, mediums are not proving to be very successful, you as the founder bring, or, you know, former founder bring a lot of credibility to driving high quality content, or excuse me, high quality pipeline into your business.
I couldn't agree more with you. And founders, the leaders of the business, roll up the sleeves and build a pipeline. The rest of the organization just, you know, gets that much more energized. So James, last year was tough for lots of companies, especially in the B2B sales tech, MarTech space, or in general B2B SaaS space, right? Nobody hit their numbers, or very few companies hit their numbers. Pipelines just weren't there. And the pipelines that were there didn't convert into the revenue. Through macroeconomic headwinds, everything just you know, fell apart when it comes to revenue goals and hitting the targets. And we all learned along the way, you know, lots of things. What was your learning from last year?
Yeah, it's tough for everybody. And, you know, I'll use my experience from TestBox. And really, I consulted with the business in Q3 and really came on full time in Q4. And, you know, I'll use that lens, is that I think that there's been so much focus on vanity metrics in businesses that aren't actually driving revenue at the end of the day. And there's been issues between different teams of what's an MQL versus an SQL. At the end of the day, everything is multi-touch. And I think where we saw a lot of things last year with TestBox is the quality of leads were just poor, right? We have a pretty prominent inbound business. And so the quality of leads, as I mentioned about the demo automation category, were very poor. So if we looked at, you know, demo requests and demo qualified leads, a lot of them were for product core softwares, which we actually partner with. We had a lot of bad data quality, not only from just starting demo automation, but the actual previous product of the marketplace, all that data was still in our CRM of HubSpot, right? So imagine trying to come in Q4 and run reports on our business. We just didn't have it. And reality is that we were very late to the party and don't have a lot of brand awareness. So we were really late to sales cycles. And that really hurt us. And I think at the end of the day, all those things compound. And, you know, I would say there's probably a dozen things that I can highlight, but all of those things mixed with like unclear, undefined ICP was just really tough. So the business spent a lot of time, a lot of energy in the wrong places.
Yep.
And the results actually showed until we made the pivot and found the right customer.
I couldn't agree. I talked to so many go-to-market leaders and they just don't understand their ICP, or even if they do, the entire team is not aligned on ICP. So, yep. I think that's a problem that has to be solved.
Absolutely.
2024 is here, right? Yep. New year, new budgets, new experiments. What are you most excited about for 2024 when it comes to pipeline generation?
Yeah, I probably could talk for at least 20 or 25 minutes on this topic right now because, you know, we're revamping the entire business of TestBox, right? Like we've brought in an almost entirely new go-to-market organization. But let's start with the ICP, right? Redefining our ICP. We have started to learn and realize like we have some sweet spots. So for example, a lot of the, you know, Gong is a customer of ours. A lot of the revenue intelligence or anything that relies on Salesforce data and call data, you essentially need TestBox. And if you're utilizing AI, if you're trying to show it in your product and the consumer says, ask this question, you need to be able to showcase something that works, right? So for us, it's redefining our ICP where we know that we are a best-in-class organization and can deliver something that our competitors can't. I also would highlight that, as I mentioned earlier, this demo automation category, it's new but confusing. G2 just put out new use cases to give more clarity into it. Gartner did as well. And so we've been trying to figure out where are our leads coming from and how far do those leads get in the pipeline? And it's not comparing one versus the other category. It's just understanding, are they coming from Google? Are they coming from our network? And how far are they getting, right? And then matching that with the ICP. And then for us, we have spent a lot of time getting our HubSpot in order. We're still doing that to get our CRM in order to rebuild, purge the bad data, and almost kind of start over and start from scratch so that we could build the proper dashboards and reports as we've revamped our go-to-market process, our sales stages. We've built a lot more rigidness in terms of stage progression so that that data quality can be more accurate so that we can run real reports that actually give us real results that show tactical and tangible impact to the business. So again, I can talk in a lot of different places, but like that is really our big focus here at TestBox.
That's great. That's great. You know, I couldn't agree more with you on the quality of data. You know, it may come across self-promotion, but that's what we do. That's what we do to help the companies. If your data is not good, your decisions are going to be poor.
Totally.
And no solution is going to help you.
And I think that's a common misconception, right? Is that a lot of people say, oh, well, I'm looking at the data, I'm making data-driven decisions. But if your data is incorrect, you're making incorrect assumptions off incorrect data, which is going to give you incorrect results. And I think that so many people understand that concept, but don't understand how it really comes to life in predictability of the business. So I'll just mention one thing, like we had on-site last week, earlier this year, and one of the themes is predictable excellence, repeatable results. And that's our mantra as a go-to-market team, because I want predictability and repeatability in my business. And if you look at what happened in 2023, that was really tough to have. And come by, and now that we're in 2024, we can set the standard of this new, what I like to call the new era of SaaS, and how do we get predictability and repeatability in our business will allow us to make proper data-driven decisions.
That's great, man. So let's switch the gears here a little bit. As we know, growth comes from many channels, right? You have to place your bets, you know, in different channels to drive the pipeline. As a leader, you have finite budget. So in this exercise, you have 100 pennies. Your goal is to distribute these pennies across some of the channels that we have outlined here that will help you generate the pipeline and grow your business. How would you make these bets? Where would you distribute your 100 pennies?
I'm going to take some hot takes a little bit on this, but I'm going to start with, I would put 20 on the founder. I really believe that the founder-led growth, I could even do more than that, but we'll go 20 for now, is so important and so pivotal. I would actually put 20 on partnership-led, and I would put 20 on referral-led pipeline. So you can see that like my style and my strategy is pretty clear here from a business. I believe that, so referral-led pipeline and
that will be customer referral or...
Customer-led growth, excuse me.
Yep.
You know, I think it's really important because you've spent so much time building trust with these folks. And in my mind, I would spend 20 on sales-led growth.
Yep.
I would put 10 on marketing-led growth, and I'd put 10 on brand-led growth.
This is great. You know what? I love your clarity of thoughts and then distribution of your 100 pennies. Let's just double click on like, you know, one or two of these channels. So what are some of the things that you are doing to drive growth, for example, partnership? Because I'm hearing lots of companies are focusing on partnership.
Yeah. A lot of companies are definitely focusing on partnership. And I think a lot of times those strategies could be a little bit hollow. And so for us at TestBox, as I mentioned, the category is very elusive. And so what we've done is actually partner with the product or softwares, companies like Novatic and Toriel and Consensus, to bring awareness to joint customers. And so we'll go and we'll partner together on raising awareness that you can use both of our solutions. And ideally that partnership actually ends up leading to business. It leads to conversations and also, you know, helps our sales team with our overall pipeline.
Sounds great. Sounds good. Well, let's take a look at the results, how they compare the community. So this is a chart that shows you, here's a chart that shows you how, you know, go-to-market leaders have decided to spend their 100 pennies. I'm going to overlay your data on top of it, James.
Uh-oh. Okay.
So orange is yours. When you look at this comparison and the chart, what surprises you?
I'm a little bit surprised at how many people are not leaning into customer-led and founder-led in these scenarios. Like I believe that, you know, even our sales-led, like the partnership-led can produce pipeline for our sales team to go and execute, but your customers have so much trust with other people in their network, right? They're almost better salespeople than you are in a lot of occasions. And if your product has actually been delivering the value that you said that it would, and companies are realizing like, wow, this is a solution I can't live without, they are going to be an amazing channel for you to build awareness, build brand, build pipeline. And so I really believe that like the customer-led and the partnership-led are very intertwined and could actually lead to a success in a lot of the other areas.
This is great, man. This is amazing. So James, thank you so much for joining on the show. Thank you so much for sharing your experience and congratulations on your exit of your last business.
Thank you.
I'm confident you're going to do well with this business as well. And the community is going to learn and get some nuggets from what you share. So thank you.
I hope so. Thanks for the opportunity. And anyone wants to talk about these topics, again, I love talking about this. So thanks again for the opportunity.